benefit, I think, of Mr. Cole, Mr. Phillips, I would ask that the council, we have a night meeting next Tuesday night that we meet here at 4:30. Eddie is going to give us some instructions on these computers at 4:30 to about 5:30, and then we will order dinner, and then we will be ready to go at 6:30. So
we have to vote on what we're eating?
Yes, you can have your choice of either cheese pizza or pepperoni or mushrooms.
Yeah. I think I'm going to order some crow.
And I don't have to be here because they cut my computer. So.
Okay. So Robin will have that on the agenda that next Tuesday is at 4:30 for the benefit of a training session that we all may be smarter.
It could be a struggle.
Oh, that might be a pushing a little bit. We're here this afternoon for three public hearings. And just in case you're not familiar with those, we will ask our attorney, Mr. Griffin, to tell you how those hearings will be conducted. Then he'll start with the first hearing. Mr. Griffin.
Thank you, Mr. Dukes. When council holds hearings of this nature, they're public hearings and they're considered to be legislative in nature. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map. After each application is called, Mr. Lank will tell us the number of the application, tell us what happened at the Planning and Zoning Commission. And after that occurs, we will then recognize the applicant. And if you're represented, your representative or attorney, if you are representing yourself or if you plan to speak from the podium to give information to council, before you make your statement, you need to identify yourself by name and state your address. After you have done that, then go ahead and make your statement. After the applicant has presented their case, we'll then ask if there's anybody else present who wants to speak in favor of the application. We'll also ask if anyone is present who wants to speak in opposition to an application. After everyone has been given a chance to speak, depending on what happened at the planning and zoning level, if they kept the record open, it's possible council can keep the record open. If they did not keep the record open, then council typically closes the record here. If planning and zoning deferred, council will also defer in order to hear the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. Any questions about the procedure to be followed? Thank you. Mr. Lang.
Yes, just for a gentleman, before I start the third application, the application of Terrence Babby, starting on page 5, the case number is actually conditional use number 1737. Okay. Gotcha. It's right on the agenda, just in my reports in there.
Okey-dokey.
The first application this afternoon is conditional use number 1684, the application of Francis B. Precup Jr., to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for used car sales and produce and landscaping business with sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.508 acres more or less, lying at the northwest corner of Route 16 and Slim Street, being 1,100 feet west of Road 212. This application was heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission on April 12th of 2007. We heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department. The applicant was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. On April 12th, the Commission deferred action for further consideration. On April 26th of 2007, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 1684 for Francis B. Precup Jr. based on the record and for the following reasons. One, although there has been a produce stand on this property for years, Mr. Burton does not believe that the applicant has clearly shown what he wants to do with the property besides the produce stand. The drawings that were submitted does not contain enough detail for me to feel comfortable recommending approval of this application. Two, Mr. Burton is not satisfied that this parcel is suitable for all of the different uses proposed for it, including car sales, landscaping, mulch and stone sales, produce, and firewood. Three, given the extent of all the different proposed uses and the lack of detail in the application materials and in the applicant's presentation, Mr. Burton can't recommend approval of this application. Four, if the applicant reapplies with a plan prepared by a surveyor, Mr. Burton requests that the fee be waived and that the application be expedited. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Johnson was absent that evening. I did receive one additional correspondence. It's from the Sussex Conservation District. In the form of a memorandum, we are advised that the soils are mapped to be Glassboro Sandy Loam and Henlopen Rosedale Complex. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum with a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site and surrounding areas, a copy of the soil survey map showing the site and surrounding areas, and then a soil survey report based on type soils and the suitability of those soils. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions. I did pass down a copy of the sketch used submitted by the applicant. And that's all I have.
Any questions of Mr. Lank? Mr. Precup, present?
Mr. Precup is aware, to the best of my knowledge, of the decision of the commission, but I haven't talked to him directly. But he was aware of the public hearing.
Again, we would ask if Francis Precup is present. But the record show that the applicant has not arrived or not.
You want to see if there's anybody here for or against?
Is there anyone here for or against to speak for or against that application of Francis Precup Jr.?
Read the title.
He was notified.
Yeah. Or you want?
We'll wait until.
Okay, let's wait. We'll take him under. We'll vote on it just before we have the other. Or after we have the other two.
Okay, next application.
Need a motion to defer on it.
Yeah. It's at the same meeting. So
okay, all right. We'll vote on it last today.
Next application is conditional use 1685, the application of Parker Block Company Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for expansion of a concrete block plant. For concrete plant, concrete block crusher, and future asphalt plant to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 10 acres, more or less, lying 800 feet south of Route 24, 1,183.53 feet southwest of Route 409, 409 also being known as Mumford Road. For the benefit of the council, I pass down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. This application was also reviewed in public hearing by the commission on April 12th. We heard comments from DelDOT, the county engineering department. We just received a letter from Thurgood Concrete Company Incorporated expressing some concerns. They are referenced in my report. Rex Timmons was present on behalf of the Parker Block Company Incorporated and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. The commission on April 12th deferred action. April 26th, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1685 for Parker Block Company Incorporated based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the application is for the expansion of an existing concrete block and cement plant and to add a concrete block crusher and future asphalt plant. Two, the existing plant is zoned LI2. Through this conditional use, the expansion would be limited through the conditions that can be placed upon the expanded use. Three, the applicant is only applying for the conditional use on 10 acres of a much larger tract that they own. This creates a buffer from the neighboring and adjacent properties. Four, the project is for the expansion of an existing industrial use along Route 24. So there should not be a substantial increase in new traffic generated by this conditional use. Five, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Six, the applicant will still be required to obtain a special use exception for the future concrete plant and asphalt plant from the Board of Adjustment. The details of these specific uses will be considered during a public hearing in which the public will have an opportunity to participate. Seven, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, any security lights shall only be installed so that they do not shine on any neighboring properties. Two, the site plan shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Three, the future asphalt and concrete plant shall require special use exception from the County Board of Adjustment. Four, there shall be a landscape berm along the entire perimeter of the conditional use site. The size and location of the berm and the type of landscaping shall be shown on the final site plan. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Johnson was absent that evening. For the benefit of the record, I again received a memorandum from the Conservation District dated April 16th. And we are advised that the soils on this site are considered to be Hamilton Loamy Sand, Ingleside Loamy Sand, Pepperbox Rosedale Complex. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. In reference to on-site drainage improvements, the applicant would be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements, and the Phillips tax ditch may be affected by this application. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared, a copy of the soil map for the area, and a soils report based on its limitation of those soils. And that's all I have, John, unless you have questions.
Lawrence, you said, I know they have to go for the concrete and the asphalt plant, the block and the crushing, that would be just under the conditional use?
The block crusher would be under the conditional use. We've had a couple of them. Kay's would be example at Middle Ford. And Joseph has had one, I believe, across from their shop. I think that was a crusher also.
So what,
a couple of them.
If this is approved, what council will be approving is an expansion of the concrete block plant.
Right.
And the concrete block crusher. But not the concrete plant or the asphalt plant.
No, if they wanted to bring in a new concrete, they have a concrete plant there now. If they want to bring in a new concrete plant.
They can expand the existing one, but they can't put in a new concrete plant?
They couldn't put a new plant in unless they went through the board.
Okay.
And typically what you see in most cases is a temporary type plant. It comes in, basically it's a truck and they stand it up and steel comes down and provide leg support and they can fold it up another day and move it away.
So we're,
yeah, there's a permanent plant at their site presently. And an asphalt plant would also require Board of Adjustment action.
Special exception.
And both are considered special use exception because even if it was zoned LI2, because of potentially hazardous use because of dust, odors, and noise.
Okay, so we'd be considering the expansion of the concrete block plant and the,
right.
And the crusher.
Right.
Okay.
The one thing you might want the applicant to address is item number 4 of the stipulation. It says landscape berm around the perimeter. You might want his opinion on whether or not there should be a berm between his existing facility and the expansion, because it kind of would separate him from his the expansion area. What they, I really think they meant was the perimeter of the boundaries of the 10-acre piece. That would be west and south and east, not necessarily to the north towards 24.
Right.
That's all I have.
Is the applicant present today? Would you state your name and address and tell us why you are requesting this action be taken?
My name is Rex Timmons, 30243 Millsboro Highway, Millsboro, Delaware. At the zoning, I was informed that I have a 1 year, and if I don't have that in line, that I can apply for an extension, if I remember correctly.
If you receive approval, your approval is valid for 1 year, and you have the right to ask for 2 extensions.
Okay.
And the commission has the right to authorize that.
Okay. That would be, hopefully that will be in the time frame if we get approved.
Yeah, you're talking about going to the Board of Adjustments.
Yes.
And are you willing to go to the Board of Adjustment for a future concrete plant or a future asphalt plant?
Yes, sir.
And to have what the council does today limited to a consideration of expanding the present concrete block plant and the concrete block crusher?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything you would like to tell council as to why you are requesting that the application be approved?
Just growth, which naturally all you gentlemen are aware of. The block plant has been running pretty much full tilt for the last 4 years. So basically, instead of running the stinking breath out of that plant, it would help naturally to get rid of a night shift if we could put in another plant, which would actually, the neighbors would probably like that with the noise and everything.
Would it be a cleaner plant?
Oh, yeah, with technology, it would be probably at least 50% cleaner because naturally everything's computerized. This plant here is almost computerized, but it's not fully. Because your batching system and all, none of that's done by hand. Everything's drawn by, you know, air gates, hydraulic gates, by a computer.
There was, in the minutes, there's reference to a letter from Thorogood Concrete opposing it. Was that based more or less on what they thought was lack of need or something, Mr. Lang?
Oh, yeah, I have to assume so, but what I summarized is basically the content of the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Very short.
Okay. Is there any response to that, Mr. Precup? Are they a competitor?
Concrete, they will be. Asphalt, I know they have, I believe it's H&K in their back part of their property. It was approved, I believe, for the asphalt. So those two would be competition-wise.
Is Thorogood produce concrete blocks?
No, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Any questions, gentlemen?
I think as you're the only one that creates concrete block in Sussex.
Yes, right now we are.
Right. Now, how noisy will this crusher be?
It's probably no more noisier than the actual block plant, or like when the cement tanker is blowing off.
Crusher, what does it take scrap concrete in? And
yes, sir. Recycles it, basically. Crushes it down to whatever screening that you need.
And will any of that be done? You were saying right now you're making block 24 hours a day.
I'm not
going to crush 24 hours a day.
Oh, no, sir. It would be if the council puts limits on me, then that's when we'll crush.
Yeah. Well, it seems that all we can deal with here today is that we shouldn't be dealing with the asphalt plant, right, Mr.?
No, we can't. Or the asphalt or the
concrete. All we can talk about is a crusher, right?
And expanding the present plant.
Okay.
Just trying to be straightforward.
We understand that, but that's another body, another group. So you don't mind placing time restrictions on
what do you
crusher?
Want, though?
No, sir, because basically right now I have to have an independent, it depends on who bids the lowest crushing company that actually comes in, and we're only crushing once a year. Because naturally the bigger my crush pile is, that means the common block I made makes my pile bigger. So it takes me a good year to get a decent sized pile up.
This is not a daily thing, the crusher.
No, I mean it could be, but hopefully we're not making them kind of block that we've got to be crushing every day.
That's fine.
You're basically cutting your crushing block that's
That we call second
ejects or something that you have a problem. Yes. You don't bring anything from off site to crush.
No,
unless it's from a job site that you're working on or something.
No.
You're only crushing your product, is what you're
yes.
saying. So we can limit it to your product? I mean, because that would, if there is some concern, I saw some comments that somebody was concerned about the impact on the neighborhood with these other uses you're proposing, but even on the crusher, which could be quite annoying if it was gone 5 days a week.
Right. Honestly, I would prefer not to be limited to
just your product.
Yes, I mean, because I am able to take in, because I deal with contractors naturally, and they're busting up concrete sidewalks, driveways, and looking for places to take it. But even with that, I mean, this last company, they just finished crushing, I think it was last month, and they crushing 9,000 ton in a matter of 5 days.
So it's a portable operation. They bring it in?
Right. It comes on a trailer, they unload it. The machine would actually fit inside this room.
All right. When you do crush, what hours a day would you want to follow?
Normal working hours.
Honestly, I don't have a problem with it, with the council. If they set a time, 9, 10 o'clock when people are up, you know, and going to work or getting ready.
9 to 5, Monday through Friday?
I wouldn't have a problem with that, no, sir.
About like a quarter?
That's enough time to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Well, he says he's only doing it once or twice a year, it sounds like.
Right
now.
And the hours of operation of the existing concrete plant are already established, I'm sure.
It's actually a site adjacent.
Okay.
But that's a grandfathered in use, right?
Yes, pre-existing, and it's also pre-zoned. It's LI2.
Yeah.
The site's actually AR. It's a piece right behind the concrete block plant.
What about the question Mr. Lank mentioned about a berm, whether it would be between the existing facility and the 10-acre expansion area, or whether it was intended to refer to the west, south, and east sides of the property?
I know on the hearing, the first hearing that I had, I took it as being around the 10 acres when they asked me.
Perimeter, three sides. 10 acres. Three
yes,
sides.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be between the two 10 acres.
No, sir.
Yeah.
That's why I raised the question, because it's not clear. I don't think the intent was to separate it from the plant.
Well, they referenced neighboring and adjacent properties, so that doesn't mean themselves, I guess.
Right. Well, see, they own the area around. They have 21 acres, and this is only right. 10 acres of the 21, so they actually own the property
right.
around it.
Okay. But being it jolts out in the back, it's the three side.
So
yeah. Do we need to clarify that in their condition?
That's what I thought. That's what I just wanted.
Well, what it says is around the entire perimeter, so it's going to be the three, the west, south, and east sides of the 10-acre parcel.
And how high of a berm? It's to cut down the noise, right? Isn't that correct? Isn't that the assumption on a berm? How high does the berm have to be, do you think?
I had talked to two construction company guys that run dozers, and they said that just by pushing up the topsoil out of that 10 acres that you could probably get at least a 4-foot berm around. And Dom, you planted, he recommended cypress because they grow fast. Up on top of that, he said you could get probably at least a good 10 foot from
the. So if we stipulated a 4-foot berm with trees,
yes.
That's fine with you then?
Yes, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, because the commission didn't state the size of the berm or the type of landscaping because it was subject to site plan review.
It's like, well, why don't we put
that's
in there?
Fine.
Just reference
this is size,
4-foot berm with vegetation, whatever you all decide. Okay.
Minimum 4 foot.
Any more questions before we see if anyone else is here regarding this application? Is there anything else you had to say, sir?
No, sir.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. So we will close the public hearing. In the title, Mr. Lank, I have a question. I think that the title of this ordinance should be amended to remove the reference to the concrete plant and future asphalt plant.
We don't normally amend titles.
But we can. We can take away from, we can add to.
Okay.
But I'm concerned that the title of the ordinance authorizes uses that we don't have the jurisdiction to approve. So I'll read it as follows. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for expansion of a concrete block plant and a concrete block crusher to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being assessed for 100 Sussex County containing 10 acres more or less.
Mm-hmm. In motion, gentlemen.
On the number 4 item about the landscaping?
Yes.
Just what I would suggest on number 4 is that there shall be a landscape berm along the perimeter, take out the word entire, of the conditional use site, except for the site adjacent to the existing plant site.
You don't have to worry about the height or any of that kind of stuff, because you
were... Yeah, right. And then, that was just first sentence.
Oh,
the Location, not the size, the location of the 4-foot-high berm and the type of landscaping shall be shown upon site plan. That work?
Yep.
Perfect.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance with the amending number 4 as stated by Mr. Lank.
You're going to put hours?
You're adding that.
Hours?
You're adding that one, Mr. Lank, to number 5, about the
berm?
Yeah,
I forgot that one.
Oh, yeah, the hours. Where does hours go?
It could be number 5.
Number 6.
Number 5 or 6 or something?
6.
Number 5, wouldn't it?
It would be number 5.
Number 5.
You're putting the berm on in number 4?
It was all under 4. It was already written that way.
Number 5 will be the hours Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Yeah, concrete crusher activities shall be limited to the hours of 9 to 5.
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
With those changes, I make a motion we adopt CU 1685 Parker Block Company.
Second.
With the 5 stipulations?
With the 5 stipulations as amended by Mr. Lank.
I have a motion to approve CU 1685, maybe Mr. Cole, second Mr. Jones, with the 5 conditions. Any questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record recommendation with the change, I vote yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes, also P&Z and amended.
Yes, motion is carried with the 5 conditions. Thank you.
Mr. And that motion included the amendment to the title, right?
Yes, it did.
It did indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is conditional use 1737, the application of Terrence Babby to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a professional office complex and some retail space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3 acres more or less lying north of Route 16, 650 feet east of Route 22A, and east of Milton. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on April 12th of 2007. For the benefit of council, I only have 5. I pass out 5 booklets, exhibit booklets that were submitted to the commission. The commission at their public hearing April 12th reviewed the same booklet. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department. Mr. Babby was present with Gene Byard, attorney, who gave testimony. Tom Lynch, Jeff Wells, and Connie Lynch were present and spoke in opposition to the application and gave testimony, all testimony being a part of my report. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1737 for Terrence Babby for professional offices based upon a record and for the following reasons. 1, the site is within a development district according to the comprehensive plan update. 2, the application is for professional or business offices, including home-related retail and service businesses. This location is appropriate given the close proximity to the town of Milton. 3, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. 4, the use has a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. As a conditional use, the project will be limited. If it has been approved as a change of zone to business uses, any number of uses could have existed there. 5, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the offices shall be limited to business and professional offices. The offices may also be used for professional services such as home-related retail, service businesses, law firms, accountant offices, engineering offices, contractor or home builder showrooms, and similar uses. B, no automotive garages, new or used car lots, auto repair shops, filling stations, fast food or other restaurants, laundromats, or funeral homes will be permitted. C, the use shall comply with all DLDOT requirements. D, dumpsters shall be screened from view from any public roadways. E, any security lighting shall be screened so that they do not shine on any neighboring properties or public roadways. F, one lighted sign shall be permitted. G, The final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And H, the agricultural use protection notice shall be included on the final site plan. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. Oh, 5-0, I'm sorry. Mr. Johnson was there on the 12th. I did receive, a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. In this application, the soils are mapped to be Hurlock sandy loam and Ingleside sandy loam. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. The applicant would be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements for any on-site improvements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared, a copy of a soil report, and a copy of a soil map. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Is the applicant present? Mr. Gibbs.
Good afternoon, council members. Mr. Griffin, Mr. Lank, I'm Robert Gibbs. I'm here on behalf of Terrence Babby, the applicant, for conditional use number 1737. All council members got a copy of the project notebook. Okay. As Mr. Lank mentioned, this application started out life as a change of zone application for B1 zoning, which was withdrawn, and this conditional use application is substituted. It is for professional or business offices, including home-related retail and service businesses within the agricultural residential district. Just reviewed Mr. Burton's motion. I did want to actually move for the record in change of zone 1604 to become a part of the record of this hearing, if I may, please, and also to move for the incorporation of the project notebooks, because they have most of the documentation that is relevant to these proceedings. Mr. Babby is here, and he also has a rendering, which I think might be helpful for the council to look at. It's Route 16 on the way out of Milton there. This is, do you have the other? The rendering is there in the notebook as well, right on the front of the notebook. I also note that just inside the notebook is a table of contents that has all of the individual documents. You may have a question relating to them. It's a quick reference. The conditions today are exactly the same as when the application was made before the Planning and Zoning Commission. The site is still within a development district according to the county comprehensive plan update. Neighborhood is the same, source of water, septic soil conditions are all the same. We still have 122 square feet of wetlands and very minor areas near the edges of the property. There is no negligible impact on traffic, and the proposed activities on the site remain the same. However, we have tab 23. Are specified proposed conditions that we would you know, welcome be limited to this conditional use. And this provides assurance to this council, adjacent landowners and neighbors that the uses to which the property can be put are confined to what has been presented. That eliminates broader uses in the B1 district. I was not present at the application, the original application, but if there were objections to that broad form change of zone, I think this is much more manageable. One of the few persons objecting, I understood there were maybe three people objecting, Mr. Tom Lynch, the immediate neighbor, has agreed now to sell his property to Mr. Babby. It is under contract. Project with these conditions and stipulations submit would not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. It's close to the current town of Milton. and the development on the way out of town on Route 16 is business-related on both sides, and this is a professional and business office park. I think it would be a good addition to the community. The few objections that were voiced by farming neighbors in the record of change of zone 1604, Mr. Babby noted then and will restate here on the record that dust and farm odors are a way of life in Sussex County. The business and future occupants of this professional office complex will not have an ability to complain. It's known, it's part of the record, and it certainly shouldn't be a negative impact on the farming uses. If anything, you know, owners or business owners could complain, but it's part of the record that they are coming into the situation and are eyes wide open, so to speak. Mr. Babby submits, and I think it his drawings and his presentations support that this should have a very positive impact both on the community and on the neighborhood. There are letters of intent from a CPA firm, a law firm, an insurance agency, and a photographer in the project booklet at tab 21. As the drawings depict and as the project drawing that's before you shows, I think it'll be a first-class professional park. And Mr. Babby's office is going to be located there. This is going to be his opportunity to show the world the nature and quality of his work. He's been in business for quite a few years down there and has a very good reputation as a first-class quality builder. And this park should present itself in the same fashion. The conditions address the one other objection, I think, that was poised in the earlier hearing. That was the screening for dumpsters, and I think there was a statement about lighting, and that the conditions do provide for down lighting screens so as to avoid lighting on adjacent neighborhoods. As I said, Mr. Babby's going to be the builder, one of the primary occupants of this center, and he intends to, you know, make it a first-class showpiece for his business and his you know, neighbors and other businesses that will complement that business. The signage is shown on the rendering. There is a condition on signage. Mr. Babby asked me to point out that the drawing as submitted originally did have two small entrance signs, neither of which were illuminated. It would be nice to have the option to illuminate a sign, whatever the council feels is appropriate, but he did want to have sort of parallel matching signs on either side. I think it's shown right on the very front of the project booklet. There was a, you know, small heritage park sign built right into a stone, partial stone facade there that I think would be attractive and certainly wouldn't be beyond the scope of what was the intent of what was recommended in the underlying hearing. Mr. Babby is here to answer any questions that you may have. I think I've addressed most of the matters that were brought up in the original change of zone.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
At tab 23, where it lists the things that could not be built or used, the property could not be used for, those are identical to the ones in Mr. Burton's motion, with the exception that in tab 23 it mentions automobile parking lots. What was being referred to there? You're talking about parking lots, public parking lots, or
sales lots, I'm sure.
Or was it directed toward not having the sale of new or used cars there?
Not part of the application. I'll let Mr. Babby, because I wasn't at the first hearing.
And the other question I had was, would this be a location for Mr. Babby's own business, as well as units to lease to other people? But he could address those things.
Harris Babby, and I live at 30303 South Nell Run in Milton. In reference to that, yeah, we were referring to the fact that there would be no car lots or parking area for car lots. The only parking that's going to be there is as specified and required for the office space that we have, is what the intent was there. That, you know, and in reality, my office is in there. If you look at Well, let me see which elevation, or there's some floor plans, I think, within, within here on page, tab 22. And you'll notice that one of the, these buildings, by the way, are, I prefer to have all professional space there. The reason we're asking for retail or possibly service related is we're not just sure of the demand for the lease space at this point in time, although there is some interest as shown in the letters of interest. But ideally, we prefer to have all professional space there. That's my intent. But I, being in a conditional use, I understand that I'd be limited to the use we were asking for, and that was our thinking there. But the park being named Heritage Park is actually named after three of the four governors from Milton that were the governors of the state of Delaware, one being Ponder, and then you have Painter Building, and then the Carey Building, and that's the idea behind it. And you'll notice that the Painter Building, 13,500 square feet is what's shown, and in reality, just for the record, that we're actually having to size these buildings down from what they are. I understand we're looking at the application as is, but for parking and sprinkler and septic systems, now that we're getting more closer look at the engineering and the due diligence of it, these buildings are going to be actually somewhat smaller than shown. But you'll notice that on that building, there's a double unit on the end, and that is where our office will be, in the Painter Building. And you'll see
the one in the back.
On the back, and then and on the far left is shown here. Now we may flip this design so that it's on the right, because you'll see there's an access on the right side of that building, because we are going to have a small storage area, because we accept deliveries of products in our business, and then also our dumpster is going to be there. You can see where the dumpsters are shown. This plan has changed just slightly from the original, in that the buildings are smaller because of the parking space. We flipped that floor plan because of moving forward with the designs, and we allowed for spaces for the dumpsters. You'll see two near the front, which are going to be completely fenced, and there'll be a fence on either side or in the rear of the property as well, which we intend to be 6 foot high vinyl board and board fence, probably in beige color is what we're looking at.
Would there be any outside storage of building materials for your business?
No, not at all.
I got a question. I'm looking at all these floor plans.
Right.
Am I to assume, I guess, that each of those little boxes will be a potential rental space?
Each building is divided into two-story office space. And
You rent something, you'll rent two stories?
Correct.
So it's like a townhouse type thing.
Correct.
So in other words, I'm not counting 1, 2, 3, like 10 offices in one building.
They'll be within one company, is what you're saying.
Or 10 different
units.
10 different. Yeah, there'll be 5 units.
Correct.
Available for rent.
5 two story.
Okay. Because it seems like you've got an awful lot of parking. When I look at the your site plan there, it just seems like a heck of a lot of parking. I mean, when we did some conditional uses as you approach Lewis years ago, we were concerned about the historical significance at Lewis, and as you approach into town, we didn't want it to look too commercialized and stuff. So we, over the years, have kind of kept it to offices and professional space, but with kind of a residential look and appearance. And we've pushed parking behind and stuff and tried to isolate things a little bit. But I'm just looking at this and I'm just saying you've just got a tremendous amount of parking lot, and it seems like maybe you've gotten more creative, or you're trying to get so much on there it's just going to be all building and all parking.
Well, I think to first address the parking issue is that I agree with you. I think there's too much parking too, but it's as required by the code, according to Macrone Engineering, and they're the ones that engineered it for me. And in fact, we sized the buildings down from what you're looking at in this booklet based on this site plan. But in terms of the architecture, your thoughts are exactly in line with what we attempted to do here, and that is to pick up on the architecture of the town. I think you'll notice the buildings with the colonial blue roofs and the shakes on the buildings with the brick all are likened to that era. you know, and that we're trying to blend with the architecture of Milton, even though we're not directly in town. I think.
Yeah, no, they're just such big buildings is possibly what distracts from it. But you're right; it does have a nice appearance. It just seems like you're squeezing a lot in on 3 acres, a lot of offices, a lot of parking, and.
Well, I mean, there's 15 office spaces on 3 acres. I mean, that's. I don't know. I think we, certainly if we had sewer there, which we do not, we have on-site septic, which actually reduces the amount of square footage of offices we could have.
By the time you get the storm water and everything in, you're right. It's you've got a lot jammed in on there.
Right. So, I mean, certainly with sewer, I don't know that we would propose more, but there would be potential for more.
And you don't have any a formula for how much retail can be locations would be rented in here?
Well, you know, if you wanted to limit that to 30% or less, I'm comfortable with that. Again, the only reason why we came back with retail, that wasn't even originally we applied for a rezone with the intent of doing professional offices. But being that we're limited, and again, I just don't know if I'm making this sizable of an investment that you don't want to obviously be able to lease the space. Now, I'm not talking about retail like Dollar General or something of this nature. Our idea was home-related retail such as, you know, like a lighting store possibly, you know, possibly a cabinet, kitchen cabinet store, an IT guy, a business consultant, you know, that type of thing, more related to home rather than a Kmart or something of that nature.
And now that you've acquired, which property did you acquire, on the right-hand side or left-hand side?
The left.
For that picture, on the left?
Well, it's under contract.
Under contract. How large is that parcel?
An acre.
An acre. Are you intending to expand on this?
Well, at this point, you know, I just kind of look at that property as an investment. We'll consider some possibilities at a later date, one of which may be that I build a separate office solely for myself on that property.
And I didn't know if it, by adding that acre in at this time, maybe it might make a better layout. I mean, just to be able to place all this stuff in.
I agree with you in that light.
More attractive.
Pardon?
I say it may end up being more attractive.
And it certainly, you know, I would be in agreement with that. It would require, of course, a bigger financial commitment from me as well as the going through the process of having that land.
Well, you're allowed, Lawrence. I mean, he's allowed to come in and with proposed buildings. You don't, under a conditional use, you can show areas for proposed buildings in the future. You don't have to build them all at one time. We do have that flexibility, right?
That's not part of the.
That's not part of the application.
Well, I know that. I'm just pointing out with the acquisition of a property next door, you might get a better project.
Could be, and certainly we intend. I'm sorry.
Now they just like to talk.
I would say to you that it wasn't that long ago that we put it under contract, maybe 2 weeks. I haven't even met with engineers, but I did plan to broach that subject with them. But again, we're so far along in the process now with this piece. I think it's you know.
That's another time, Mr. Babb. We can't consider that today.
Bless you.
Any other questions of Mr. Babby?
Falling apart on me. I gotta move away. He's got germs.
Let's see if. Did you have anything else to add?
I'm sorry?
No. Did you have anything else to add?
Mr. Gibbs.
Mr. Gibbs, did you?
I'm just here if you have any other questions. I was pretty much.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Yes, sir. Would you come down front and state your name and address before you make your statement, please?
My name is Jeff Wells. We 1135 Wells Road. We have a farm directly across the road from this property. We've operated that farm there for 100 years. My grandfather had it. My father had it. We've still operated. We're milking like 500 dairy animals across the road there. And I'm not concerned with his impact on us. I'm concerned with our impact on his project. It's not like a farm field that you spread manure on a couple times a year and it stinks. It stinks there 365 days a year. That's my concern.
If the conditions that are placed upon what he tells the tenants in the landlord-tenant agreement that it is Sussex County, your cows are there, and the odor's with it, do you have an objection with that, as long as that stayed up front?
Well, I would ask for that if
no, you know, no, I mean if, you know, would if you be comfortable, that, is that your main concern?
That would make me feel a lot better. I mean, I just don't want to be harassed with lawsuits down the road from, you know, from his clients over there. I mean, he's talking about professional buildings. If he camp out on that property for a couple of weeks, he changes his mind, he'd go someplace else. But I mean, that's up to him. It's his money, it's not mine. But you're talking about professional people going to come up there with Mercedes, the doors open, the windows, the sunroof open. When they go get back in that car, it's going to stink. There's no doubt in my mind. I live there. I've grown up there. I've been there all my life. Yeah. And Mr. Rogers knows it. When we spread manure, it stinks. You can smell it at your place. It stinks there every day of the year.
Smell of Sussex County.
And it's more than Sussex County there. I mean, there's 500 animals.
No, it's intense. I know that. I mean,
it's 500 animals there all the time. To the south of it, to the west, there's 50,000 chickens. It's completely surrounded by agriculture.
Big farm down the road. The
council is very sympathetic with you, and I've always said buyer beware, and you know, Mr. Babby knows that going into it. If he still wants to do it, that's up to him. But
it's his money. It's his money. But
now, I don't think the man buying from the county going out there and saying, oh, you stink, you know.
But there's one, the farm across the road, it's been permanently preserved in agriculture preservation. It's going to be there. There's going to be a farm there forever. I mean, there's not going to be any houses there. But, I mean, that was, if it's his right to build this there, I mean, you know, if the council feels it's his right, let him build it. But I think that we ought to be protected, you know, so that we're not going to have nuisance lawsuits, his people complaining to us, because, I mean, we get enough crap from, you know, from everybody else when we spread manure, you know. But this is going to be 365 days a year there. I mean, you know, when the three or four or five week, you know, week during the year, when you spread manure, it stinks. But over there, it's there every day of the year.
Yeah,
and
right,
it's not going anyplace.
Yeah, you do realize that once this one gets approved, it'll set a precedent for the other properties that you may see a domino effect of similar properties
and then
converting.
Who's going to feel the brunt of that?
Well, I'm getting, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, you don't have any opposition to what he wants to do,
well,
or you're concerned opposition.
I have opposition against it, but, you know, if it's his right, if the council feels it's his right to put this
there. That's why he's here, to ask. It's not his right.
I mean, if it's not his right, there is five more properties between this property and Route 5 that is for sale. They're in the town of Milton.
Right.
They all got city water and city sewer, and they're already commercial. Why do you need to come out here and build this, you know, on this? I mean, you guys go stay on this property and look around. You see nothing but agriculture. I mean, it's all the way around. I'm not denying this man from building a commercial complex, but there's plenty of opportunity that's for sale, you know, right now. Why do we need to come here? If across the road, if they build a house over there, we're going to have one neighbor. If he puts this over there, we're going to have 50 neighbors complaining, you know. It's not going no place. There's not going to be houses across the road this year, next year, or forever, because it's permanently preserved in the farmland preservation. It's going to be there. I mean, next, we might put a hog farm there next. I don't know, you know, but it's not going any place.
Well, I think you made your point, and Mr. Babb, if it gets passed and he still wants to do it, I don't think that you're going to be driven out of farming. I think that you were there first. Buyer beware.
Our attorney said we can make a condition about the agricultural presence that he has put in his lease.
If it be in his lease, I mean, if that's fine. You know, I mean, I
You could state something such as this, that the applicant shall be required to insert in his leases a prominent notice that the property on the south side of Route 16 is used for agricultural purposes, which involves the nuisance factors of noise, dust, and odors commonly associated with agricultural uses.
Well, I mean, I would rather not have it, but if it's got to be there, you know, we definitely need something to protect us. We've been there forever, and I don't think it's, you know, put us the burden, you know, to say we belong there. I mean, you know, we've been there for that long.
How many acres you got across the street? I mean,
well, we own behind it, too. We own, like, close to between 700 and 800 acres. That's
all the way around,
it, basically. And there you're plopping this in the middle of it, and, you know, it's not right, I don't think, but... You know, if he still wants it, you guys think it's his right to try it. If he go camp out there for a couple of weeks, he wouldn't build there anyhow. But you know, that's what I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? And yes, sir.
It is.
Or yes, ma'am. I saw a hand, but I couldn't see who it was. I apologize.
My name is Connie Lynch. My address is 24795 Brock Hill Road. The Tom Lynch that was mentioned earlier by the attorney, it's not my husband, it's my father-in-law, who chose to sell his acre because he doesn't want to live next door to this. My family and I operate the chicken farm to the west of this property. I have the same concerns as the Wells's. Traffic is a problem now. Excuse me. Office and retail shops will just create more traffic. I mean, I try to get out of my driveway every day. It is a problem. Poultry and animal health is a concern due to the close proximity of these properties. We may be a small poultry farm, but this is our livelihood, and an outbreak of disease would wipe us out, which brings me to the point that this type of business does not belong on agricultural piece of property surrounded by farming families. There are many commercial sites available in the Milton area for this. Thank you.
Anyone else that wishes to make a statement regarding this, either pro or con? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. Any questions you gentlemen have?
You want to consider, asking the council, you want to consider the...
We can ask Mr. Babby the portion that I read that, about possibly putting that in your lease.
We intended to put that in our leases, and I just neglected to mention.
You wouldn't object to that then?
All right, that makes it easy. All right.
Okay. Hey, Jim, it should also reference both sides of Route 16, not just
okay.
The other side.
It will.
Farm, okay.
There's ag preservation on both sides.
Okay.
Council understand that? That would be, aye then, Mr. Griffin?
Yes, it would.
Any others need to add, Mr. Lank? Are you aware of any?
Well, the commission on number 8 said the agriculture use protection notice shall be included on the final site plan. And that's the way they felt it should be, and that would be appropriate for the same reason. If you're adding I, you're referencing the lease. Basic same information.
Okay.
On the reference to our discussion earlier about automotive parking lot.
Pardon me?
The automotive parking lot issue that came up earlier, the commission took that portion out of their recommendation.
That was new and used car sales, right?
Yeah, but they included that specifically.
Okay. Wish me to read the title, gentlemen?
Yep.
We got to close the public hearing, right?
Yes. I thought we did, but we will close the public. Did you have anything, Mr. Gibbs?
Closing remarks.
Well, we're opening it up again, are we?
No, we never
closed it yet.
Well, I mean, we've done the opposition, and we're opening it up again to the opposition if he gets up and starts
keep
over.
It's okay.
Just want to clarify a point as Mr.
Well,
Griffin.
I'm just saying there's a potential of opening everything up again, but
let everybody talk.
I don't know. It's up to depends on how important it is.
An ordinance, the hearing's record's closed. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a professional office complex and some retail space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Kill 100, Sussex County, containing 3 acres more or less.
And we've added the disclaimer in there about the
condition number I.
Condition number I. Any questions on it?
Oh, a question I have. I do know the area, but I would like to go look at it. But if you guys don't choose to, I would. That's all I ask.
I mean, if we defer.
Sorry.
Your turn.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah, remember that. Remember that speech, Jim?
No, I gave that speech.
Yes.
Certain
oh, second.
No.
I have a motion by Mr. Phillips, second by Mr. Jones, to defer. Can we put a time on it, gentlemen?
I should be next week. Yep.
Can we put it back on the
next week?
Can we put it back on for next week?
Please.
Yep.
It will be back on next week, Mr. Babby. It's the hearing is closed. You do not have to be here. We're going to vote on it, but just to let you know, you don't have to be here. We'll just put it on for a vote. That's it. And you can find out, Mr. Lank, the results of the vote. I have a motion to defer, second defer on CU 1637. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. You put it back on, Robin.
Back to Francis Precup, 1684. Francis Precup present at this time. Let the record show he is not.
Close the hearing and read the title.
Public hearing is closed. The applicant did not appear. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for used car sales and produce and landscaping business with sales to be located in certain parcels of land lying being Broadkill 100 Sussex County containing 1.5 acres more or less.
Mr. President, I make a motion that we deny conditional use number 1684 due to lack of record or no
record. Could I ask you to make that positive, Mr. Rogers?
I'm positive. Want to.
That we approve CU 1684?
Second.
Yep.
I have a motion by Mr. Rogers, second by Mr. Phillips, to approve CU 1684. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Jeez.
Yeah. No.
You've already been with it.
You two been in.
This guy's going to pass like me.
Mr. Rogers?
Due to lack of no record. Due to lack of no record, I vote no.
Every one of you. Boom.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is no, Mr. President.
My vote is no. Motion denied. I need a motion.
I voted no for the record, Robin.
Scared.
I have a motion second to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
No for the record.
Opposed, so carry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is too much fun.